Good evening, Matt. How are you doing?
Good morning, Johnny. I'm doing well. How about you?
Fantastic. Weather is getting very, very nice outside. Finally, I can start wearing my shorts and t-shirts.
Nice. I'm in the jackets and jeans.
So last week after I talked to you, the following day, I actually took a day off because I went out with my wife to check out the cherry blossoms. So there's a park in Toronto where it was very busy because with cherry blossoms, you can only really check them out, you know, within the week or else the petals start to fall on the ground. So it was a good Friday last week. Took many good pictures, took a day off on Friday to just take in the weather. Yeah, so feeling very good, very energized. I also went to the gym 6 days last week.
Wow, congrats.
Yeah, feeling great. This week, I've also gone 2 times. And yeah, just trying to make this a habit. There is no decision being made. You just pick up your gym stuff and you just go. The instructor will tell you what to do. Then it's 1 hour there and then you're done. So make it as frictionless as possible, as painless. Well, pain is, I'm pretty sore, but yeah, painless and from the sense of decision-making.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good approach to it. I've gone through periods of my life where I've been able to do that. And I would like to get to that point again, where it's not even a question. It's just, at this time I'm doing this. And you go off and you do it. And gym is one of the better activities to kind of try build that habit. And then hopefully it can spill out into other areas as well. So yeah, I can definitely see the value of that. And that's impressive. 6 days in a row. Did you say it was in a row or just 6 days last week?
No, there was like one day where I couldn't go because the class that I usually go, it's not available on that particular day. I looked in different locations. Yeah. So I think it's good because I still need 1 day of rest anyway. So I don't think it's good to go 7 days a week, especially when I'm going to the same class, pretty much doing the same thing 6 days a week. Just trying to keep the complexity as low as possible, right? And not to try to figure out, oh, today's leg day, I should do that. You know, it's just that decision is done for me by the instructor. So I just go in.
Do you track your activities at all? So like have some sort of a streak going that you mark it off, or is it just something that you mentally know, take notes of, or actually don't take notes of? How do you approach that?
Yeah. So because of COVID, I have to, because the gym actually has an app that I have to sign up. So that they, I guess one part is for their business so that they know which classes are popular, which ones aren't, so that they can shuffle the schedule around. Mm-hmm. And number two, I believe, is you sign a waiver and you confirm with the gym that you don't have a fever, you don't have any symptoms, you know, blah, 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 right? So that's why I'm able to go back to my calendar because they would show me all the sessions that I've attended.
Okay. I used to do these kind of streak tracking, you know, both apps, and then I also did it in paper form where you try not break the chain. I think it comes from Jerry Seinfeld and how he like became a better comedian by telling a joke every day and he would mark it off on a little calendar.
Yeah.
It's effective until you break it. So then you just get despondence and you like ignore the thing and then end up chucking it in the bin.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you break it, you just start it again, right? So it's definitely effective. It's a form of habit building, right? What did they say? After 21 days or something, you start to build a habit. So
yeah, but I've heard that too. And then the flip side of that is it like just takes like 3 times of missing your habits in a row to break it completely. So it takes a long time to build it up. But to mess it up is also a very short period.
Yeah, but that's life, right? You just have to continue and go forward, right? Or you can constantly remind yourself that you broke your streak, that you failed and you're never going to do it again. Or you can always be a glass half empty or choose to be a glass half full type of person. And
okay, so speaking of a glass half full, tell me what's happening in the crypto world at the moment.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a super interesting story. Thankfully, I escaped this. There was a crypto meltdown where I believe, according to the news, like $50 billion worth of valuation evaporated from this chain called Luna. Luna is actually the coin It's pegged to another coin called Terra, which is supposed to be one Terra, is supposed to be one US dollar. And okay. The whole thing got depegged. It's a super interesting story because the thing is, it sort of reminds you of these market drawdowns that we're seeing in the stock market anyway. But the difference is that you can actually look at people's wallets. You can see that live action, right, of coins moving out of wallets and into the market. So I think it just brings another level of surrealism to the whole thing.
Like, what I'm struggling to comprehend is how does, I think, did you say 50% or 50 billion?
50 billion, yeah.
50 billion. How does that just evaporate? You said it just evaporated. Like, how does that happen?
There's a lot of speculation, and there are much better resources than me telling the story, but I'll try to share with you as much as I know here. So apparently there's an attack. So someone borrowed 100,000 bitcoins on this attack. And what they did was they were trying to drive the price of Luna down. So there's a correlation between this Luna coin and this Terra coin. They're like sort of the two coins that are in this system, right? The idea mm-hmm. is that, well, this company headed by this famous legendary guy, Do Kwon, is trying to build like a new financial system on this stable coin called Terra. And the way how he does it is that he's using Luna as collateral. And the problem with that is that, well, there's no value, right? This Luna coin has no value. It's sort of make-believe that, hey, I'm going to start a chain and this is the system. We're going to call this algorithmic stablecoin. The way how this works is that there's no real collateral. It's not like they're buying gold and storing in a vault or storing US dollars for every Terra that is being mint. So it's sort of this make-believe, right? And people are calling it a Ponzi scheme. Why people would put money in, right? It's incentivized by this 19% interest rate. So you can get a Terra coin, or let's say you put in 100,000 and you can get 19% interest on this
every
coin.
Year.
Yeah, 19% yeah, per year. Wow. 19.5, so close to 20, basically. 19.5%. So it attracted a lot of people because they see that there's huge rewards to this. And at the same time, I think they're doing a really good job at marketing it. They attracted a lot of venture capitalists before, so they seem like pretty legit at the beginning to try to incentivize this pretty much unsustainable practice, right? Like, how can you sustain 19% return?
Yeah, exactly.
People know about this. People know that, well, eventually it's going to go down, but they just didn't know that it's going to go down in like within a couple of days. I'm not going to go into detail here because, well, we're not a crypto podcast and I probably wouldn't do it justice. I'll probably put links in the show notes. But basically, this attacker drove down by, I believe they sell the Bitcoin and turn it into Terra. And then they quickly sold a whole bunch of the Terra that they swapped onto the market, which caused it to depeg very quickly. And it wasn't able to repeg quick enough. And then people started losing confidence, and then it becomes this negative feedback cycle that people lose confidence in this stablecoin. So they're selling it on the market, which means that the countercoin Luna needs to be burnt. So I think this is where the show notes comes in. Yeah. So Luna dropped by 90.5% or something crazy like that. It was at $90, $89, and it dropped to, today I checked, was at like 25 cents or something like that. Crazy.
My gosh.
Within like, yeah, days. Yeah. So it's really sad because if you go to the subreddit of this community, there are tons of suicide prevention hotline numbers.
Oh, yeah. That's when it gets real.
Yeah. Those report of, yeah, people committing suicide. And yeah, it's very sad.
Yeah. That's horrible. I mean, so has this had a knock-on effect on other cryptocurrencies? I see Ethereum's down, Bitcoin's down. Is that what's happened? People have just suddenly lost confidence?
Yes. So the worst thing about this is that it's actually coinciding with the bear market anyway. So I think the bear market is more of a macro environment because you can also see it in the stock market as well, right? Like things are being down, like Shopify's down, what, like 75%, something crazy like that.
And apparently it's a brilliant buy at the moment based on the price that you get for it. In terms of the multiple of revenues, apparently it's a good stock to buy. Again, not giving any stock advice here or any financial advice, so don't pay attention to me whatsoever. But I was just reading a thread on that, and somebody was explaining how, based on the earnings and the price of the share, it's looks pretty attractive. But in general, like, I think, and I'm not following it very closely, but every time I log onto Twitter and I start kind of scrolling and reading, I'm seeing a lot of pessimism. I'm seeing a lot of people talking about a big recession. I'm seeing a lot of people talk specifically about a tech recession and massive layoffs about to come from big tech. And apparently some of those layoffs have started already. So, you know, whether the bubble has burst or is bursting remains to be seen. But there's definitely stock markets are down. Everything seems to be heading downwards at the moment, which is slightly depressing to think about.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I think it has already begun. So I think we're going to see more and more news of layoffs coming.
So how's that going to affect a small business, like small software business? Is it or is it not?
I think you have to make sure that you are an essential tool. I always think about what needs to be cut, right? When I need to save some money. So are you close to the core business, right? Where either you're generating revenue for a business or you're providing value to the core operations so that your tool or your software needs to be used to make sure that the day-to-day can be run smoothly for a business. Or you're just some auxiliary function that is a nice to have. It's always important to figure that out, right? And if you are, how do you make your tool or your service essential? How do you add value to your customers? I'm curious whether that is like impacting the buyer market, right, for your listing.
Yeah, I don't know. I listed the business for sale in Jan on MicroAcquire. Got a lot of initial interests, but people just talking and not much action. And then I moved to FlipWP, which is a WordPress-specific marketplace. And I got quite excited about that because it's just people buying WordPress businesses. But I don't think their user base is very big. I got one person reach out. So I don't think they are as big as I hoped they would be. And as we've discussed in a couple of episodes ago, I then got it listed on flipper.com. And funnily enough, it looks to be that I have somebody who's quite interested in buying. At least has given me an offer verbally, no contract or anything signed, and seems to be wanting to move forward. And this was within maybe 3 days of the listing going live. But yeah, I don't know. Again, like, I'm not getting too excited. I've spoken to a lot of people about, you know, potential buyers of the software, and it's kind of not led to anything, so I'm not getting excited yet. But this is kind of the furthest I've gone along in the process of selling this business where somebody's actually committed to an offer. And there are other people that are interested as well at the moment. So it looks like Flipper could be the marketplace where I finally get a deal done. So I don't know. I think the size of business that I'm selling is quite small. So I think there will still be a market for this. It's not like somebody's going to have to make a massive investment to purchase this. And the software has been showing strong signs of growth over the last couple of months. So I think the last 6 months or so, it's consistently hit over $1,000, which it's never done in its history. And it's hit a high of $2,121 in the month of April. So it's a strong business to buy. This month's sales, even halfway through the month, and they're looking pretty good again. Definitely will hit $1,000 this month. So, like, it doesn't seem like this whole economic situation has had a massive effect yet, but who knows what happens in the next couple of months. Things could get pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, deals that we're doing, they're pretty small. So I don't think it's going to matter much, but I think it's going to be interesting to see. There are also other deals, right, in the marketplace. So whether those are going to be impacted, maybe the velocity of is going to slow down for these deals.
I definitely think there'll be a case where there'll be less money going around to buy which would potentially force multiples down a little bit. So we've seen like multiples just consistently increase over the last like 2-3 years to the point where like you look at some of these deals and you're like, there's no way. And then you'll see it get sold. And it's like, okay. So maybe like some multiples will get squeezed down a little bit. And that again becomes an opportunity to buy if you've got the cash or you can find cash from somewhere. Might be a good time to buy, but we'll have to wait out and see what happens over the next couple of months, maybe even year, 2 years. Who knows how long this goes on for.
Mm-hmm, yeah. What's next?
I've had a pretty quiet week. I have mostly been just dealing with Aspire, doing some product support. I've mentioned last week that I've gone back into full-time work, and that's been an adjustment. It's been a bit of a struggle. I'm not going to lie, but in part that was also enforced by the current economic situation and me just like hedging my risk a bit and saying like, hey, like now would be a good time to earn a little bit more, do more hours, and hopefully ride out any sort of storm that comes our way. So it's necessary and it's fine and I'm continuing to do it and, you know, hopefully things get better and I can at some point go back down to 2 days. A week of contracting work. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Is there anything else from your side that you got up to last week?
Yeah, well, I got into the Facebook ad world, which is pretty...
A rabbit hole.
Yeah. So I think there were 3 separate times where I thought the ads was running, but it wasn't. So the first time the ad, I put it on, it got rejected. I haven't done Facebook ads for a while, and now it's getting a little more complicated because there are like videos or different, you know, you can send them to Instagram or WhatsApp. So they're different networks. And also, I don't know what happened, but the first time there's a bot that checks the ad, it rejected it and they don't give you a reason. So you have to go through this review process where there's a human being reviewing it and then we were told that, yeah, there's nothing wrong. So it passed. So just that alone was what, like 48 hours of turnaround? Because I put it up and I thought it was running and it actually didn't. It came back and that turnaround was just time wasted. And then we put the ad on pause because so I'm testing this with my customer. He's trying to use Facebook ads to send traffic to the bot. And for whatever reason, it's just not working. I just think it's just a copy that is not enticing to start the chat with the bot. Or sometimes when people click on things, they might not expect a bot to appear. So they were maybe expecting a web page or an article or something like that. And a bot appeared, that could be a pretty foreign experience. Yeah, so overall, I mean, the click-through rate is not great. So I did a whole bunch of debugging, trying to figure out whether the message came in, but, you know, SurveyBot just wasn't working properly, but it didn't turn out to be like that. So I changed the format of the ad and automatically that got rejected again because it was checked by bot. So now it's just still waiting. So
there must be some keyword in the copy or something that's like they flag that this needs moderation.
It's German, so I don't know.
Okay.
The whole thing was German, so it was very hard for me to even comprehend. So that added another layer of complexity on top of the Facebook admin dashboard. The second time, my customer is going to send them a message telling them to review it, and then hopefully we're good to go again. I didn't change anything on the ad, and somehow it still got rejected. I just turned a button to a quick reply. So a quick reply looks very similar to a button. It's just when you're in a chatbot, they'll give you suggestions. These chat bubbles, that was the only thing that changed. So it was purely aesthetic. Content didn't change, but somehow it still got rejected. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure that there's some keyword in that copy that is getting flagged. And I've had that before. I'm trying to remember the context of it, but I've done quite a few Facebook ads in the past. And like anything that sounds somewhat political, because they've got policies against political ads now, it'll get flagged. And if you use a similar word just in a different context, like the AI is not smart enough to figure out that it's being used in a different context and it just flags it and sometimes auto rejects, which is painful. And then if you get like, I think overly aggressive with your ads in terms of your copy, they don't like that as well. And that gets flagged. So it's all about kind of just figuring out what words they like, what phrases they like, what grammar they like, and kind of at least building your ads within the bounds of that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So other than that, I mean, I have a pretty light week. I'm working with the writer to come up with the content schedule. Still trying to figure out doing keyword research with the Google Search Console to figure out which keywords to focus on. Oh, interestingly, I had a call today with a customer. The customer basically sent me an email asking me whether they can jump on a call. So they're in Europe. And the first thing I said was, well, have you tried using the app? It's literally like a free sign up. You can go in and try it out.
What I sometimes respond to those kind of emails is, yeah, fine, we can have a call. You can call my email.
Well, at the end, they're still a prospect, so I didn't want to. But my regular would be, I put a canned message telling them that, hey, have you tried this out? This is like the first article that you should read if you're interested in building your own survey. Yeah, but they were still interested. I'm like, okay, that's cool. I mean, I don't mind. It's just, I always wanted to talk to customers and figure out, you know, how they find out what their problems are. That's good. So today it turns out that, well, in a demo, I asked them that again. There were more people on the call and they just wanted me to walk through with them between the three of them. And they just have questions. That's the thing, which makes me think that I have to change my pricing tier so that for these like business customers, if they want a demo, because they're not on Facebook, right? These people are on Facebook Workplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like Microsoft Teams. It's a Microsoft Teams competitor. And I find that if there's a business, there's a business objective, maybe I can change the pricing tier so that it's more catered to these customers. Because it seems like they want more service. They want more support. They want to have someone to call or someone to talk to.
In the WordPress space, that's a standard. When you sell in a plugin, you've got like, you know, free, pro, ultimate, and then enterprise. Call me for pricing.
Yeah, yeah. It feels a little disheartening, the fact that they haven't even just signed up because they were like, well, we don't want to waste time. I'm like, well,
you're wasting my time right now. Here's a YouTube video. Well, yeah, watch that.
Yeah, and I thought the software was as intuitive as it can be, right? It's almost like trying to get people to demo Google form to you, right? It's like, hey, just sign in, try to check it out first. You know, if you still don't understand, give me a call or we can...
So where was this company from? I can't remember if you mentioned it.
In Central Europe.
Central Europe. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is I get to talk to more customers, which is always good. So I don't mind that part. It's just, how do I figure out a way to automate some of this stuff, because, you know, I don't want to always be doing this just to answer questions if there's an easier way.
I had a customer reach out to me this week as well from Central Europe, Germany to be specific, and they also wanted a call and they wanted to get onto Microsoft Teams and have me debug some of the issues with the software that they're having. I told them flat up, no, like, sorry, I don't do calls. Like, I've got email support and email support only. But maybe it's like a very European thing where they like to get on phone calls or get on Microsoft Teams to look at problems.
Well, I definitely get it if it's a bigger sort of commitment, maybe a longer contract.
Listen, mine's a $49 plugin.
Yeah, yeah, for $49 it's plugin, like, no. It's not really, yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, for me, it's a $0 at this point, right? So yeah, I feel there's got to be a way where it makes sense. Because I think they're used to software companies doing demos for them. In a sense, that completely defeats the purpose. If I'm doing a demo and the whole thing is freemium, so I might as well make the thing, let's say, credit card free trial and not freemium. And whoever puts in the credit card, sure, yeah, you give me a call. Right now, there's a box that you can go in and actually give me a call. Or if you have questions, feel free to send emails. I mean, on the one hand, I just kind of understand. Right? I mean, they want to learn before they commit. But there's no commitment, right? Like,
yeah, but listen, try it first. Like, that's the answer. The answer is if you want to learn, try it and see if it works for you. And if you've got questions after trying it, well, then reach out to support.
Yeah.
So did you get any product insights out of them, or at least kind of like find out where they came from, how they found you, that kind of stuff?
I did. Well, the thing is, like, with Workplace, it's easy because there's a marketplace. So Raybot is on their listing. Yeah, it's like the Slack app store or the Microsoft app store. I got some insight. It seems like it's something that's recurring, which is good. So it seems like it's a business problem that they're trying to solve with a survey to their internal employees. And it's a recurring problem, which is nice. So in that sense, I'm thinking, oh, maybe I could just reach out and for these type of customers, just split up the product into two. Because literally there are two products, right? One is Microsoft Messenger, and then the other one is they have an installation of Facebook Workplace.
Okay. Well, at least you got something out of it. Something that you can take value out of. Wasn't completely wasted.
Mm-hmm, yeah. What about next week? Have you decided on shipping something next week?
It's hard. Like, I'm at a hard stage. So I'm working on a big project with my contract work. Huge project, actually. And that's going to take a lot of my energy. So I need to kind of break my week down into smaller steps and figure out smaller things that I can do to kind of move the needle on my own business stuff. So the one thing that I've been trying to do is get into a routine, and I'd like to continue on with that and try to take your approach to say, hey, I'm not going to try go to the gym. I go to the gym at these times on these days and that's it. And like, it is what it is. I'm off, I go. So I'd like to see if I can do something like that this upcoming week. And then, you know, in my pursuit of like exploring what's next, I have some pretty concrete ideas and I'd like to narrow them down and actually move the needle a bit on one of them. So I very quickly get myself into a state of analysis paralysis where I spend too much time analyzing that it becomes crippling. And sometimes what you need to just do is actually do. So what that means for me is just to take my strongest idea and do the first step. And the first step for me is always marketing and starting to validate. And so I would like to next week produce a piece of content that is the first step of my next opportunity.
Okay. So, yeah, looking forward to reading your content, whatever it is, article, video, subject line.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what I come up with. But yeah, last week we spoke a little bit about this kind of content machine. And I think that's the approach that I'm going to take to this, whereas kind of create an article that forms the base of your content and you turn that into a video. You can even break it up into multiple videos and then social media posts and threads and, you know, using this whole thing as an example, which comes from Matt Givenchy. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, at moneylab.co. A really good blog about this kind of stuff. So yeah. What about you? What are you going to be up to?
Yeah. So I need to really get off my butt and just reply to. So I'm working with a writer. I've been drafting this email, coming up with different ideas, and I think I just got to send it because, I'm just worried that I'm doing this the wrong way or giving this person the wrong idea so that he's going to go down the wrong path and waste a bunch of money. But hey, let's just move along. Let's just talk to you before our recording. Just go to Google Search Console, look at the keywords I want to target that are not highly ranked, and just give him a list. And then start on the second piece of content that I want to publish. So that's what I'm going to ship next week, which is hopefully I'll get the first draft of the article.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah. Is that it? Anything else?
Yep. Yeah, that's it.
Cool. Want to sign us off?
Yeah. Show notes can be found on buygrowrepeat.com. I am Johnny Tong on Twitter and Matt is Matt Jerry. This episode is edited by Rory Yonkerkow. You can find his Instagram at Radio Rory. We'll see you next week.